Triple M's Big Breakfast for Team Moto and their biggest ever bike sale. Yamaha, Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki and heaps more. Slash by up to $7,000. Check out teammoto.com.au.
Hey, welcome to The Catch Up. Thank you for streaming. Make sure you subscribe. Friend of the show, Rusty Crowe, called through today.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to be chain smoking, talking about Wayne Bennett. Yeah, get into it.
Well, you nearly forgot to smoke, actually, but glad you got it back on the bus.
By the way, Marto, I mean, Brendo can have a light.
Now?
Now? Yeah.
This is just
the catch-up. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Come to where the flavour.
Thanks, Russ.
Yeah, okay. The weather is still creating havoc. There are still massive bushfires burning out throughout Queensland, and we heard some quite amazing stories from a couple of people when we asked the question, would you stay or would you go if your house was in threat?
I'll tell you when we heard incredible stories, when we talked about pranks. I didn't realise people were still doing them. There is, we have one of the masters on our show today.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Oh, well, the Wayne Bennett to the Bunny saga keeps on going on and on. We've been trying for ages to get hold of this bloke. It's the owner of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, Rusty Crowe. Hello, mate.
Yeah, g'day, Marto. G'day, Robin and the Moon Man, and g'day to you, Brendo, and everybody in Brisbane. It's a great place.
Where are you at the moment?
Well, I'm in Nanna Glen, and so my heart goes out to all the people in central Queensland. I'm a rural boy with a heart of gold, I guess you'd say, and that's what I feel for the farming communities out there battling the fires. And take the fire on, stare it down, beat it. I mean, it's mind over matter. You've got to psych the fire out, stare into the eye of the fire. Right. I mean, some people, you know, will get badly burned, but also just stare at the fire.
Are you really a farmer? All I've ever seen you do, you just seem to ride around on your four-wheeler bike.
Yeah, I'm always on the quad bike, and that is in itself a form of farming. Just being on the land, feeling at one with the land, watching how it moves and grows and the ethereal nature of it. That is what farming is. Okay. I'm agrarian. I'm a country boy with an agrarian heart of gold.
So you say. Okay, can we talk about the Rabbitohs and Wayne Bennett? Is he going to be there in 2019?
Listen, I've got the will to get Wayne across before the start of 2019. That's what I want. Anthony Seibold's moved on from the club. We love him. He's gone. He's dead to us. We've forgotten about him already. But Wayne Bennett's going to be our man for 2019.
Okay. Yeah. Are you giving up smoking?
You on the patches?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, can you have a light, please, Brenda?
Hey, sorry. It's really weird. Thought you changed. Oh,
that's better. Hey, yeah. Russ.
Oh, that is better. I'd forgotten. There was something missing. Oh, come to where the flavour is.
Hey, Rusty, the issue is the Broncos don't want to pay the money to Bennett and la, la, la. Have you got, it's going to cost you about $2 million to sort this mess out if you want
the Broncos
Bennett.
Are tight asses.
Have you got the money? You got any money?
I've got a lot of money. I often carry up to $1 million in cash in a wallet.
What?
That's why my butt looks so big.
Yeah.
The two wallets in my back pockets and over $1 million sometimes.
Saddlebags.
Yeah. That's what they call me, Rusty Saddlebags.
Oh, okay. Can we talk?
Brenda, can I have another light, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. Now that you're going, you're really going.
Yeah, you're really going. You're making up for lost time.
A mile for that flavour.
Let's talk Aussie politics. What do you think about that at the moment? You've got some take on the politicians?
You've got to remember, Robin, that I'm a New Zealander and an Australian. I'm a true Anzac. With the hardest, biggest farlap. And
made of gold.
It's farlap's hat, heart, but made of gold with a country flavour to it.
Dirt between your toes.
Anyway, I kind of focus on New Zealand politics a lot. Jacinda Ardern, she's a great woman. She's a natural leader. And I don't think she's ever pooped her dacks in the Engadine McDonald's.
Do you know about that?
Do you know about that?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a well-known. I was at the Engadine McDonald's in 1997. I was a 32-year-old. I'd just finished shooting proof, I think.
Yeah.
And,
proof of life, yeah.
Not proof of life.
Oh.
Proof.
Oh, sorry.
And I was in the Engadine McDonald's with Hugo Weaving, and I was getting a quarter pound a meal deal, and Hugo was getting the fillet of fish. And,
was this after the Super League Grand Final that year?
ScoMo was in front of us in the queue.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think I was there when he pooped his sacks.
Yeah, he just let rip. Well, it was a rumour up until now, but we've fact-checked it with Russell Crowe, so it must have happened.
Right. What about Terry? Have you caught up with Terry recently? Terry Irwin, I'm talking about.
As the end of the year comes on, Terry and I get together and review all of our role plays. Of course, you know, the favourite is the crocodile, where I lie on the floor and she throws raw meat at me. The possum, where I sit in the roof and she brings some fruit up. And, of course, the Christmas one that I ran through yesterday, I dress as Santa, get up the chimney, and she helps me back down, eating my sack out of the chimney.
Very good. Get back on that land at Nana Glen.
Another light.
Another light?
On the way.
There we go.
Fresh is the flavour.
Okay, see you, mate.
Big breakfast
on Triple M.
Let's talk about the weather, because it was odd. It was weird yesterday. It felt weird, didn't it?
I thought it was completely... It felt like an apocalypse was about to hit.
It did. Like Armageddon was just around the corner.
If you were out of the aircon, people were coming out of aircon, and I tried to explain. They go, "What? What are you talking about?" But if you were out in that wind yesterday afternoon, it was bizarre.
And the sky looked odd.
End of the world.
Yeah, it felt like that.
That hot air that kind of robs the place of oxygen feels very Mars-like.
Well, that was what was going on here in Brisbane. But, of course, up in central Queensland, it was a whole other
living
story.
Nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are entering territory that we've never been in.
Late today, large parts of the state were declared to be in catastrophic fire danger.
This is the first time we have had this category in Queensland. Unprecedented, uncharted, but we have a plan and we are going to follow that plan.
Scary, really, isn't it?
Mm. Well, there's fires now where... They can't basically contain them. On Black Saturday in Victoria, there were fires burning at 6,000 degrees, which basically is sucking the oxygen out of the air, evaporating things in its path. And we're into new territory when it comes to fire.
There's not enough men, there's not enough water.
Yeah, there's just not enough of anything. But of course, when it comes to these sort of catastrophes that go on within our state, it's down to the people's story. And there was one guy last night who was talking to Lofty on Nine News that really posed an interesting question for me. Have a listen.
What have you got at home?
I've got 4 horses, 10 goats, 2 alpacas, 8 chickens, the dog, the cat, this wallaby.
He has friends, neighbours who ignored all the warnings and stayed to fight the flames.
And it's not that they're stubborn, they don't want to leave all they've worked for the last 50 years, and they can't just walk away and leave the animals to burn.
But that could mean their lives.
It could be, but that's their choice.
Interesting choice.
So would animals. You stay early, or would you leave early, or would you stay and defend? Let's have a little bit of a poll in the studio.
I'd definitely go.
I mean, if there was a fire warning the day before, pack up a family, put the dog in the car, get out.
Hold on, if it was only a dog, but like that guy, he was holding a
wallaby.
Wallaby. He's got his alpacas. That's what he said. He was old. He's 70 years of age or so, that bloke.
Yep.
I'd be like him. I'd stay. If I had those
Would
animals,
you?
Oh, you'd have to give it your best shot.
But you could die.
Quite clearly to me, if you've got alpacas, you normally don't have a wife, I reckon. So those animals were his whole life.
I thought the goats was a bit of a giveaway.
Sorry. One goat. Just one goat.
You would genuinely stay.
God, yeah. You'd round them up however your plan was, put them in a shed, and you'd fight. You'd do your own back.
Or you'd die trying.
He's guys out there, they'd all have firefighting pumps, so the water comes out of them, put the hose in the dam, they'd do whatever it took. I don't know.
I think it's probably age.
I don't know.
Okay. I think age might have something to do with it too. I would get to an age where I think, well, I can't be bothered starting again, so I'm
That's
not.
That's right. I've got to protect this.
I'll go with it.
This is all these blokes have got. Their properties probably aren't worth much. Every cent they own is in that property.
I'm not leaving my bloody goats behind.
They're not going to a hall down the road to hide from the fire. They've got to confront it and protect their animals, haven't they?
You could die.
Other people who have probably done this, have lived through it or whatever. Can somebody tell us a story? What is the go?
Lucy of Mitchelton, you have some real life experience with your mum.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
This is really emotional for me.
Oh, okay. Tell us the story.
Okay. In 2002, my mother and stepfather were living in Stanthorpe. They were originally from the city, decided to move there. Decided to move there for, you know, their retirement. And they were on 180 acres of bush at the end of this very long road. Now, at this particular time, there were fires at Ballandine, and their car was packed, ready to go. And they had 2 guys with them working on a dam with an excavator.
Yeah.
The wind changed. My mother was still in the house. It was the fire came up over the mountain behind them, and the house had started to burn. And one of the guys got into the excavator and drove up to the house and found her and brought her back down. And they sat down in that dam, the four of them, while the fire rolled over the top. And they lost everything, absolutely everything. Oh, and probably the worst part was one of their neighbours who lived a bit further down the road, she decided she was going to race back into her house to get a cask of wine. And I guess you've got to have your priorities right.
Yeah.
and she lost her life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Luce, was your mum... Losing your wife, life for goon. That is, that's unfair.
Mum and stepdad, were they... The dam had didn't have water in it, I guess you're saying.
It had a bit.
Okay.
The four of them just, like, sat down in there. Actually, they managed to get their car, their packed car in there, so all the, you know, hereditary jewellery was saved, thank goodness.
So it just went straight over the top of them. Can I just ask, how do you breathe? Because that fire would have stolen all the oxygen. I always wonder that.
Yeah, I've absolutely no idea.
Oh. What a hero the guy on the excavator was.
Yeah, he was given a bravery award. His name's Dallas.
Oh.
It was just so traumatic then.
Yeah, it's still pretty fresh for you, eh?
God, Luce.
And that was,
anyway.
No, well, you know, thank you, because the thing is that when we're in Brisbane, we have no idea. You see these things on the news and you think, that's pretty sad, but you've actually kind of lived it and you give a really good perspective. So well done. You got through the story and thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Everyone always talks about how quick they come. Like they go, oh, we could see the smoke, we could hear it, and then it just comes over a ridge and at you because the wind's blowing so fast.
And Jake of Moorumba Downs, morning.
Hey, how you going?
Good. You have worked as a firefighter.
Yeah, so I used to be a firefighter with the CFA in Victoria and worked through the Black Saturday campaign.
Oh, God. Where were you stationed, Jake? Down there.
We worked through King Lake and Marysville for a couple of days.
Oh, my God.
So at the same time, I come from a farming background, so I understand how hard it is to leave. So, yeah, like if you get told, if the fire is told you to leave, you have to leave, like, because the majority of them are volunteers and they come from the land as well.
But, Jake, they can't make you leave, can they?
They can't. I think I'm unsure about Queensland, but I'm pretty sure QPS can declare a PSPA and can get you to leave.
As a firefighter, though, Jake, in that situation where you are fully understanding why they want to stay, do you then just have to go, that's it, and you walk away?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, I can't make that decision anymore. And, it's really hard. If people want to stay, like, we didn't have the power to make them leave. You just have to walk away.
Glad you're out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not exactly in a low-stress job at the moment, but that's right.
Jeez, that would have been tough that day.
Here's the big breakfast on Triple M.
Hey, Moon wasn't with us yesterday, and can I just play you something? Robin and I were talking yesterday about hard rubbish. You know, you pick up, you put it out the front, etc. People started going, oh, I got this, I got that. And then all of a sudden we had a guy, John, I think it was John from Browns Plains, Moon. He rang up, and I didn't know this sort of stuff, growing men were still doing this, but instead of what he found, it's what, well, let him explain.
It's not so much what I found as what I've done to a vacuum cleaner. I filled up with beanbag beans and reversed the motor. So whoever picked it up, when they go to test it, it's going to empty your beanbag beans everywhere.
Brilliant.
Bizarre that you would reverse, go to that much trouble, and then leave it out there just so you could have a chuckle without even seeing what happened.
But that's the thing. Like, I understand pranks, but surely you've got to see the prank unfold to feel like the glory of what you've set up.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? I can remember at school, the greatest one we did was a 50-cent piece, and that was worth a lot of money when I was at school, super glued in the schoolyard, as long as our seats where we used to sit were about 15 metres away. That you could howl, that took weeks and weeks and weeks before finally a cleaner got rid of that coin. That was the finest prank of my life, just to watch people pick up that 50-cent piece and that'll do me.
That was a
I think I've told you about this prank before. We used to have a teacher at our school called Arvo Khan. He was a science teacher and he suffered from Parkinson's. And so they made him a cleaner at the school, and so Arvo would shuffle around emptying the bins in the tuck shop area into the other bins, and then it was one and he'd take it to the
He went from teacher to cleaner.
teacher to clean. I suffered very badly from Parkinson's. Yeah. The Merry brothers would empty one of the bins, fill it half with water, and then put the rubbish back in. Oh. And Arvo would like put his leg in and just sink into the water and just hear screaming laughter coming from a locker area.
That is awful. That is awful.
Anytime I hear Arvo's name, my heart drops for him.
I forgot the Arvo story.
Okay. So what do we want? Do we want to get some pranks?
Yeah, can we see? I don't know if anyone's pranking anymore.
Like, have you ever been cruel to someone with Parkinson's?
No, that is not what we are asking. I do not want to hear those stories. Damien of Brighton, what have you done?
I used to have a neighbour and he was always ringing the council complaining and all the rest about minor issues. He had a lawn that was beautiful, manicured, like carpet it was. So I used to freeze Zero weed killer in an ice cube, and during the night I'd throw it over his fence and he'd have little dead patches all over his front lawn. He'd spend days looking at it, digging it out, trying to see what was going on.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, did he ever bust you?
No, never. Didn't have a clue.
That would have driven him insane.
I know. It was beautiful.
Where's Clint Eastwood when you need him? Get off of my lawn. Tyrone of Capalaba, morning.
How you going?
Yeah, you've done something terrible to your workplace. What was it?
Yeah. I won't mention the workplace, obviously. So anyway, it was a hotel, and I took a fillet of fish from the cold room and left it in the aircon duct in the cash office on my last day. So I would have sat there for a couple of weeks, no doubt, and started to stink the place out, I'd imagine.
Oh, and they would never have found it.
You took a fillet of...
No, I left, so I wasn't there to see the results.
Is the place that you worked famous for their fillet of fish?
No, it's not.
Okay, yeah, hotel.
You must have hated your job, Tyrone.
It comes with the territory, I guess. That's why I was leaving, I guess. So,
Tyrone,
yeah.
You never rang an old workmate to see what the impact was?
No, I didn't want to go that far because, obviously, the results could be not to my benefit.
No, that's true. That's exactly right.
Don't want to impugn yourself.
Okay, Jamie of Pimpama, what'd you do?
I put a chicken stock cube in the shower head of my mate's shower.
What happens then?
So, you know how a chicken stock cube dissolves if you put it into... So we were pranking each other for about a week and, getting each other good. I got him with some canola oil on the metre square between the tiles, on the tiles between the toilet and the shower. And I took it one step further, put the chicken stock cube in the shower head. He walked in, saw this little yellow puddle, thought I'd peed in the shower. He comes out smelling like a roast chook. It was bloody funny.
That's terrific.
Did it get you back, Jamie?
No. I moved back down to Victoria and I played the long game with him. I did one more before I left. I put chili flakes all through his air conditioner above his bed.
You're a shocker.
That's great stuff. So you just put food stuff on things
and blew them out.
So I never heard about it, the chili flakes, but the shower head, I heard nothing but humour for about a month afterwards.
Oh, that's all right.
Vegemite on the toilet. Seat's always a good one.
Oh, no. Gee, it's salty. John Butler Trio.
Cling wrap over the toilet seat. Yeah,
we can talk about pranks off air. John Butler's Trio coming home to a Friday 22nd of February at Riverstage. Chickenmaster.com. You're heading along. Good on you, Jamie.
Oh, thanks, guys.
I know that there's a lot of affection for me in this studio, and I appreciate that the warm embrace of my workmates.
Don't bring it up. We have to say it to you. We really love you.
I was going
to
say, are you fishing for that?
Yeah, what do you
hey,
want?
Moon, we love you.
I know you do.
You're such a lovely fella.
It's taken me a lot of this week to break this news to you that I was nearly snatched cruelly from your grasp on Friday. I went to Perth to do a gig.
Hey, how'd that go?
I was actually flying over to Perth. It was late, so I couldn't make the lunchtime gig. In a cruel twist of fate, because I couldn't make it, my management rang ahead and said he's going to be late because the plane's delayed.
Yeah.
And so the people I was going to entertain withdrew the transfer from the airport. They had a driver ready for me and they just went, oh, bugger him. Well, he can make his own way.
Oh, fair enough.
That was the start of the first chain of events. So I get to Perth Airport and go into the taxi rank there. Cab pulls up. I can see the driver's on his phone. I've got a suitcase and a smaller case with a head mic in it. So I open the boot, put the first suitcase in, and then the car reverses. I jump out of the way over the suitcase, bang, into the car behind me.
What? Oh, hold on.
What happened?
You definitely could have died. Who's the golfer's wife who died?
Stuart Appleby's wife died at the train station in London.
That's right. She was hit
from behind a guy coming, you know, from behind her.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At least this was reversing, so it wasn't going as quick and I had a chance to see it coming.
Well, was he out of the cab or in the cab?
He was on his phone. He'd put it in reverse instead of park.
Oh.
And
then put his foot on the accelerator.
And then accelerated back.
Took off the brake.
So, I was kind of a bit bewildered, calling him an effing imbecile.
Fair enough. But the cab
driver behind me gets out of his cab. He was angrier. He goes, "What are you doing? You could have cut his legs off, mate. Right. You've got to get off your phone." And he was a bit bewildered, this kid. He gets out of the car and he didn't know what had gone on. And I actually, in a previous life, would have just gone this guy. But I've had a change of heart.
Effing imbecile's not bad.
It's not a bad start, yeah. But then I calmed down from there.
Right.
I pulled it up.
Some control, which is good.
Bit of control. I've been reading The Courage to Be Disliked, which is all about letting the past go and taking a different angle. It's the book that Nathan Buckley said changed his year at Collingwood this year.
All right.
So it's very popular self-help book.
Had you just finished reading this on the plane or something?
No, I had been reading it on the plane, but I haven't. So it's all about just taking a different perspective.
Great.
Did the bloke who wrote the book almost get run over by a taxi?
No, he didn't.
Exactly. That's not the past.
He's some guy sitting in Kyoto cross-legged under a cherry blossom tree. But. I said to the taxi driver, "Thank you for my legs." And he's like, "What? Because my legs didn't get cut off. I had got my legs."
You turned it around on him.
Yeah. So I it's like that was a silver lining right there.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't actually hurt me. Hey. I won. You don't see it that way. You should have slapped him across the face and called him an effing imbecile.
No, me too. I'm liking the fact that you are looking for the positives in your life.
Yeah. So I win in that situation.
Oh, okay. It's about winning. Right.
But I said to him, "Can you drive your cab forward, please, so I can get my suitcase out from under your wheel?"
Oh.
Samsonite suitcases, they do bounce back too.
Oh, just fair dinkum. It survived a cab attack.
Yeah, cab attack.
Okay, so...
Also, very happy that I wasn't deliberately racist, not accidentally racist. Because, you know, in those situations...
That's good. That's another positive. And let's,
after the imbecile
let's,
comes another turn.
Let's not go there.
Yeah.
Because you weren't, and that is awesome.
But I said to him, "I'm not going to get in your cab because I don't think we're going to get on."
That's a good idea too.
Okay.
You've taken it to the next cab.
Yeah.
Would you like other people to tell you moments?
Well, has anyone been maimed by a taxi driver? Because, like, you know, often taxi drivers aren't the best drivers. I mean, I don't want to besmirch the whole industry. They're suffering an attack from Uber at the moment. But things happen in cabs. Have you been maimed by a taxi driver, injured?
Can we do Ubers as well just because?
Yeah.
Any ride-sharing service was of Boronia Heights. What happened to you?
Yeah, hi, guys. Morning. Long time ago, been on a bit of a night in the city and thought I did the right thing and caught a cab home. Living at Cleveland at the time. And as you do at about 3:30 in the morning in the passenger seat of the cab, having a bit of a night, having a bit of a snooze, and just past the Alex Hills Hotel, going down the hill there.
Yeah.
I woke up and noticed the white dotted line was down the middle of the cab, and I'm thinking, "Oh, that's unusual." And turned to the right and had a look at the driver, and he's fast asleep.
Oh, the Perry,
you're having a snooze.
What did you do, did you grab the wheel?
Well, I didn't grab it. What I did was just, I thought if I grab it, he's going to react.
Overreact, spin the wheel and roll.
So I just gently sort of grabbed the wheel and said, "Hey, champ, wake up. Time to drive the cab again." And so that was more short taxi driving career for about 10 seconds.
Did he charge you?
He tried to charge me. let's just put it that way.
Okay, fair call. Right.
That would have been a $60 fare down to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good
Karen
one.
Of Manly, what happened to you?
Oh, hello. Love the show.
Thanks, Karen.
To tell you that hopping in an Uber in Sydney and he got distracted after putting all our suitcases in the boot, and I noticed that my suitcase wasn't all the way in, so I stuck my head in to push my bag in a bit further, and he just reached out with one arm not looking and slammed the boot down, and my head happened to be in there.
I ended up
with a bruise on the back of my head, but unfortunately my eyebrow, the top of my eye, hit the bottom of the boot. And I sucked it up, and I'm in the car, and I'm saying to my daughter in the back, am I bleeding? Am I bleeding? And she's going, no. And I said, oh, okay, it's all good. But unfortunately, when we actually arrived then in Brisbane, because of the air pressure, I had a really good shiner by the time I got there.
Oh, brought the blood out.
Of the place. Yes, it drew all the blood out right down my cheek. So it wasn't just on the... on my forehead, it was right down my cheek, so my whole eye and my eyeball was.
How many stars did you rate him for that trip?
Oh, look, he felt really bad because he was getting harassed by another car in the driveway, and so it wasn't really his fault. It's really my fault for sticking my head back in there. So it could have been worse. It could have just been my hand, and it could have been, you know, could have crushed my hand. But in the other instance, it all turned out well in the end. But it was embarrassing, and I'm an Uber driver myself now, so I'm always very cautious about when I'm shutting boots to make sure everybody is clear.
Maybe you just didn't like you, Karen, and went right. Put the bag in once. Boom.
Okay, I've just found this really interesting study. It was out of Men's Health magazine. And the reason why I'm interested in it is, do you know that 25% of blokes will be bald by the time they're 30? That's one in four.
I reckon Brendo knows that.
Yeah, it's heaps good. I would have said receding, but that's all right.
Okay, sorry. Okay. What is the right terminology? I really do not want to step on anyone's toes, particularly yours.
Well, I have hair on the sides and no hair on the top, so I'd probably call that bald, so...
That's not an offensive.
Do you feel the world maligns bald men? Do you think that it's still a
I think
a cruel
it does.
Joke?
And I get offended by so many balding advertisements as well. It's like you're like less of a man if you're balding, which I disagree with. But that's how I feel.
Mm. Well, that's good. Yeah. No, because you are the guy that I'm kind of talking to. Mm. Because what I've just gone through bald the guy. Various.
I'm still a virile young man.
Well, this is my point. Hear me out.
You have a child.
Mm.
Yeah, clearly. They've researched the various things to help baldness, and they've come up with a conclusion. So basically there are three kinds of things you can do. You can actually go under the knife and get a follicle transplant.
Is that Warnie?
Yes.
No, Warnie's got a rug. He's got what? Advanced hair is knitting a rug onto the hair that exists
like
and
Bert
gluing
Newton.
It down.
Oh,
no, like he's got to go Newton. And get that rug refitted.
Sorted out. Bert Newton actually has his in a box and pulls it out and puts it on. Okay, so that's a real rug. Okay,
okay. That's a real rug. But Morty's is attached with, you know, glue and every 3 to 6 months, I don't know what it is,
so his
it starts to get manky and lift, and then they've got to go and get it
so re-attached. His isn't a drop-in pitch. It's a regrowth operation we've got.
No, it's a drop-in pitch.
Okay, so this what I'm talking about is a follicle transplant. Wayne Rooney, the soccer player, he has a follicle transplant.
Is it your hair? Like, is it coming off your bum or legs or something?
Well, they're taking it off the back. If you're quite hairy down, you know, the base of your neck and stuff, they actually, you know, transplant it from there. But the problem is it costs between $7,000 and $30,000.
Yeah. Jeez.
Do you know what they should do? At waxing salons, as they're ripping it off women's private parts.
No,
just
they shouldn't.
They should be just sticking it onto bald blokes' heads because it's already got the stickiness on it, so bang.
An
afro.
You know how they use horse hair for painting? How does human hair go with painting? Anyone ever tried that?
No.
God, hair's an amazing thing.
Anyway, moving on. The other ones are lotions and pills, but the problem is that I didn't realise this, that what they're doing is trying to stop testosterone. Yeah. So if you take them, there we go.
There's an audio example of what happened.
Yeah, so there's one that is very effective to make your hair stop falling out. It's called Propecia.
Yes.
But it ends up
softy.
Softening.
Really? Okay. Softening. So do you know what Men's Health Magazine's solution is?
One of those caps. What are those caps with the hair coming out of it?
No.
They look like a Rastafarian wig getting a show bag.
Okay. So the actual solution, they did a study and they are saying to men that are going bald, shave it all off, because when asked by a large group of women, they did their own survey of 5,000 women and asked them to pick between a hair, guy with hair on his head and a bald bloke, 75% went the baldy.
Yeah, well, I did that.
So,
and in a reverse study,
yeah.
In a reverse study, bald women are always lonely.
I got nothing.
Not always.
Moon, really?
It is the Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
Marto's Smoko Shout.
Forgot to get organised yesterday in terms of where I was going, so we just drove around.
Well, it was hot, you know, a bit bothered.
I had ice blocks on board as well as cold drinks, so I thought, I'm not going a long way. So I went to Milton Moon, just spotted a crane, first place I went to. Site was closed. I went, then I spotted another crane just near Milton train station, okay? So you know where I am.
Yeah.
Pull up there, and the girl was waving. She was the traffic girl, you know, the stop go, you know, just when there's trucks pulling.
Oh, that would have been a nice thing to give an ice block to.
Exactly. She, a lollipop lady. She was so, but traffic control, okay? Yeah. Professional.
Yeah.
Sue, such a big fan of the show, said to say hello to you and
hi,
you.
Oh, Sue.
Loved you all. All right. So you go, traffic girl. Because I normally talk to the builder, you know, the carpenters, the plasterers, everyone else. Have never talked to a traffic girl. This is the biggest problem, okay? You're going, what's the hassle with you? Is there any hassles with your job? It's quite a dangerous job too.
Yeah, it is.
People don't want to stop. And do you want to know who doesn't want to stop the most? This is the nastiest person to traffic people.
Who's the rudest person to traffic people?
Women.
Oh, are they?
Young women.
What, you tell them to stop and wait there for a while, they don't want the finger.
Oh, yeah, you get everything.
Jesus.
You get abused and then they say, why did you stop me? Well, because we have to.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yep.
And you're just trying to help make everyone safe.
Yep.
Shame on you, young women.
Absolutely. Shame on anyone that's rude to someone like that. Mm. They're just doing their job.
There's no need for rudeness, but I reckon there's some logic in why they hire women to do that, because they're probably more likely to get a favourable response from the traffic.
Calm the situation.
If there's a big, you know, hairy bloke out there, you'd feel, everyone would feel free to abuse them.
Oh.
But it's a young woman. It's like, okay.
Hey, good point. You remember yesterday, Moon, you were missing yesterday, Robin went through the highest paid, we're a 25-year-old when they finish the apprenticeship, the highest paid tradesman. Complete surprise to me and to anyone else, especially these guys. This is a building site over at Paddington.
Painter.
If I said Boilermaker, do you believe they're the highest paid tradesman at the age of 25 when they finish their time?
I would believe it, to be honest. My mate's a Boilermaker and he gets paid bank up north. Like $2,000 plus a week for being an apprentice.
Apprentice, $2,000 a week for being a Boilermaker.
It was 41 degrees yesterday. If you're a Boilermaker, you deserve every single cent.
God, you're in a tank with a welder. That's hot.
Oh, that wasn't all the audio you got. What about that selfie you took with old mate?
Hold on, you're bigger than me, I'll go under.
I've got sweaty armpits.
Yes, I know you do.
You like it, eh?
No.
You like it, eh?
Dominated by and a big Kiwi bloke. It's a familiar tale.
I think you do like it.
I think you do too. Well, you said no too quickly. You were saying no while he was saying you like it, don't you? No, I don't. I do not.
But the fact you actually asked him whether you could go under.
Well, it's don't you hate the people when they're shorter than you and they try to go throw the arm over?
Yeah. You had to go waist, didn't you?
Did the bloke that said
there was
like
no waist. There was no bottom waist. Touch.
Hang on, it's too awkward not to play again.
Hold on, you're bigger than me. I'll go under.
I've got sweaty armpits.
Yes, I know you do.
You like it, eh?
You like it, eh? Did he know that your favourite artist is Boy George?
Stop it.
Now we should find him. Tell
him. It's always ready. It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
You like it, eh? It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.